Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Chaz Mosh Show. I am Chaz, a.k.a. Mosh, of the legendary tag team, the Headbangers, and this is where we talk wrestling, life, and everything in between. So let's go! We're going to jump right into Night of Champions last night. I thought overall it was pretty solid. The one thing I don't like anymore with the King of the Ring tournament, I remember back in the day, they always had a ceremony. You got carried out, or you got the robe, you got the crown. It was made a bigger deal. To me, now, just having Nick Aldis stand in the ring, handing you a crown, you know, you do a promo, and then he hands you the crown. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe because King of the Ring was always a pay-per-view back then, it was his own separate thing instead of being the tournament that it is now. And I don't mind the tournament at all. I think that's kind of a cool, different aspect to it because it gets more people involved with having the four-way matches, the four-person matches, and then, you know, leading up to it every week. You know, gives you something else. It gives you something else to look forward to. It gives you something else to kind of predict as weeks go on. It gives morons like myself and other people that do these silly podcasts to talk about it, to come up with different ideas of who should win and why they should win. And if they don't win, why? And where's the story going? And where's this going? And where's that going? And all that fun, happy stuff. But I do wish there was a bigger deal in the coronation of the King and Queen of the Ring. You know, again, they used to have that way back when, and, you know, it just is what it is, but that's the only thing I wish that was a little bit different with the King of the Ring tournament. But it just loses a little something to me because there's no big ceremony or anything. I'd like to see the ceremony again, but again, that's just me. But hey, let's jump into it with Oba Femi and Jey Uso. Thought it was a very solid but predictable match. And what I mean by predictable, you know, Jey is great. I think the predictable part for me was the fact that Jey went out there and hit him with everything he had, which, you know, you're facing Oba. I think, and this is nothing against Jey and it's nothing against this match. I just think moving forward, pretty much everything with Oba, you're going to have to hit him with everything you got, including the kitchen sink. You know, Brock Lesnar, 7 F5s. Jey, I don't know how many super kicks there were in that match. He hit him with, I think, 3 of the Uso splashes, you know, a couple of spears, still couldn't pin him. And, you know, and I think that's part of the greatness also of building Oba up is that everyone's going to have to do that. I just think each match with Oba, because of that, whoever he's working, is going to be a little predictable. Again, just my opinion, kind of how I feel about it. But I thought it was good. I thought it was solid. You know, like I said, Jey had to hit him with everything and the kitchen sink. I did think at one point, though, when Jey had him in the sleeper, Michael Cole started talking about Oba tapping. You know, he's like, is Oba going to tap? Oba might tap. And then when Oba's eyes went blong and opened real wide, I was like, all right, here we go. You know, and he did. But my concern with it was when I was watching it was Oba tapped 3 times on the mat. Does that really count as tapping out or not? Clearly not, because that wasn't the finish of the match. But that would have, if I'm Jey Uso, I'm going back, and this could be a storyline coming up. I don't know. But if I'm Jey Uso, I'm now going back and complaining that I really won King of the Ring because Oba tapped. Now, on the other side of it, when that did happen, my concern was Oba not really tapping, but the ref saying it, and then Oba loses, and Jey wins, and now Oba's pissed and kind of just tears everything apart. So with the whole tapping thing, I honestly think there's a whole nother storyline that you could go into, especially since, you know, Jey losing. What happens with Jey? Is there a consequence? Because the old bloodline, when the Usos lost, there was a consequence. When Jey lost, there was a consequence that Roman made them pay. Now, the new bloodline, I know it's operating a little bit differently, but is there going to be a consequence? Because Roman, the OTC, gave Jey a direct order to go win the Undisputed title. And clearly, That's not happening because he did not win King of the Ring. Now, is Jay's response is Oba tapped out, the ref didn't call it. You know, so that part is going to be interesting to see how that unfolds with Jay and the Bloodline, you know, now that he lost. And I guess if you really want to be technical, Oba tapped out. He didn't tap Jay, but he definitely tapped, you know, tapped the mat a few times. And now what I hope for is they continue to call Oba Femi King Oba. I want to see King Oba, King Oba all the time. I want him to come out with a crown, with a cape. I want the whole thing. You know, he's the ruler, he's the destroyer, he's the this, he's the that, and he's also the king now. And I just think that would be great. I think it should carry on. You know, not a lot of the King of the Ring winners like carried it on. You know, Stone Cold didn't carry it on. You know, Austin 316 came out of Stone Cold beating Jake the Snake. You know, you had King Macho, you know, you had King Booker, you know, you had Harley Race, who was king. There was a lot of characters who carried it on for a longer period of time than just, okay, I won, let me come out the next week on TV and say, look, I'm king, you're not, I won. But then it kind of just fizzles out and goes away. I would love to see Oba stay as king for the next year. I think it would be great if he stayed for the entire next year. And then maybe he jumps back into the King of the Ring tournament again, defending his crown. Or next year he, you know, says if you can win King of the Ring, then you have to fight and you're not the real King of the Ring because I'm the king. And, you know, again, a year from now, things could be way different. But these are all just things I'm spitfiring out that are actually popping into my head right now. Because, you know, I take notes, but I didn't have that down on my notes, and I just popped into my head now. And now what happens with Oba? You know, Oba is now guaranteed a title shot at SummerSlam. You know, I'd like to say, does he go after, you know, the Undisputed title? Or does he go after the World Heavyweight Championship, which is Roman Reigns? My guess would be Roman Reigns, only because after SummerSlam, he called Roman out, and then Roman called him out. So I could see that happening. But all of this is going on, and still hiding in the background is some unfinished business that he has with Brock Lesnar. So what's going to happen there? It's going to be interesting. You know, the talk is Oba possibly, you know, wrestling Brock on SummerSlam night one and then wrestling Roma night two. You know, I talked about before, does Brock come out and say, hey, I've beaten you the last two times I met you in the ring. I left you laying. I beat you up, blah, 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 blah. There's no reason for me to fight you again. And then that's where Brock or Oba throws up, hey, you know, if I win, I'll give you my title shot the next night against Roman. Or does Brock just come out? Not Brock. Why do I keep saying Brock? That's why. Does Oba just keep coming out? Does Oba just come out and say, hey, maybe I need some Once Upon a Coconut? Little blueberry here. Sorry. All right. Sorry, not sorry. But does Oba come out and say, you know what? I will forego the title shot right now. I will hold that, reserve that for a later time. I want Brock at SummerSlam. So again, coming out of this match, there's so many different little storylines that could go on. And like you always say, let's wait and see. But I'm excited to see what happens. Again, does Oba challenge Brock at SummerSlam? Does Oba challenge Roman Reigns? What happens with Jay? Are there consequences because Jay lost? Or can Jay say, hey, he tapped out when I had him in the sleeper hold? So many things, so many different ways to go. Now we switch gears to Liv and Io. And I got to say, I got to admit, I was not a fan of Liv being cursed. When Danhausen came out, I was like, cool, Danhausen's out. Like, this will be a funny, fun little segment. And then when Liv's music hit, I literally, so I was actually watching it on the plane yesterday on the way home. And I literally dropped my head and just thought, and closed my eyes, squeezed them tight, and said, no, please don't curse her. Because once she got cursed, in my opinion, it gave the finish away. Kind of knew she was going to lose. you can't have Danhausen cursing people and not being a consequence from his curse at this point. It's too new. It's too new for him to come out with the whole thing that just happened with the Knicks, and he's cursing everyone, and something happens. It's too fresh and too new for him to curse Liv and then Liv go out and win the match. That would have been bad on Danhausen. That would have been bad on his gimmick. So as soon as he did it, I was like, oh, because in my opinion, in my mind, I wanted to see Liv as queen. I wanted to see her because I think Liv as queen would have literally lived it. I think she would have came out every night with a crown on her head, some sort of crown on her head, you know, maybe making everyone come out and having a whole entourage, like walk her out. I could actually see the old school with the chair up in the air with them carrying her out to the ring now, you know, her saying that she's the greatest of all time, just building into that even more, building her up even more and more and more. And with Liv's personality, that just would have been freaking awesome. It would have been fun to watch. And now the buildup would have been with her versus Rhea, you know, and then whatever happens there. But I would have been okay with her beating Rhea at SummerSlam and having both belts, not necessarily unifying the titles, having, you know, she's the undisputed WWE undisputed women's champion and the WWE women's champion. However, you know, I know it's not a heavyweight thing, but you know, her having both belts, easily down the road, you take one off of her by saying this one's for that one, this one's, you know, there's a challenger for that. But having the queen and having both belts, I don't know, with Liv, with her personality and the way she is, I thought that would have been freaking tremendous. And then, but then I saw the storyline. I see the storyline of Io, and I'm like, all right, so now Io can go after Rhea, was my initial thought. My initial thought, if Io won, she would go after Rhea. And, you know, Rhea has never beaten Io. So that could have been a very compelling storyline. You know, Io going after Rhea, them being friends. And then this just give Rhea a chance to come back and actually beat Io, being that she's never done that. But at the end, when Io cuts her promo, she looks down at Liv and says, I will see you at SummerSlam. That kind of shocked me. But at the same time, I guess it makes a little bit of sense. Story-wise, it makes a little bit of sense, because if you just beat someone, why not challenge them again? Because now you're in their head. Being that she just beat her, you know, at the Queen of the Ring tournament. So I see that also. I don't know. I just feel that Liv winning, being queen and a double champion at the same time, having all the belts, having all of it, just would have built her up. And for her greatest of all time that she does, just, I don't know, I think it just would have built it up. Storyline for me personally, I would have been great. But, you know, we'll see, you know, because I don't really know what's going on with Rhea off the top of my head with SmackDown, with her title. But it just would have been fun to see. But, you know, Io and Liv had a good match. They have good matches together. They work together. So that'll be good also. But, yeah, it just surprised me with Io ultimately, you know, once Liv at SummerSlam. Thought for sure that would have been a whole her and Rhea angle going on. Now the goes to the ESPN app off of regular ESPN. And if you were watching those two on regular ESPN, I don't see how you couldn't switch over and buy it on the app. So you go to the app, and here we go. The cage is down, and you got Seth and Braun. Seth freaking Rollins and Braun Breaker. I thought it was a good story. I thought there were some fun, different spots in there. There was some good stuff. But ultimately, though, I thought the match would have been better if Braun went over than Seth. Now, I know Seth had to finish his story with Braun and with the Vision, but I thought a couple weeks ago on Raw they had done that as well. But then Braun had came out. So, yeah, so they have the cage match. I just felt as though it does more for Bron Breakker going over than it does for Seth. Because now, hopefully, Seth and the Vision is completely done. I'm hoping that's totally done, and Seth moves on to either, I don't know, maybe he challenges Sammy. I don't know. I know there's a lot of unfinished business on that side, which we'll get to in a second. Does he challenge Roman? Does he go after the Intercontinental title? I don't know, but Seth needs to move on. And exactly what at this point? I was trying to think about it last night. I really couldn't figure it out. But he's got to figure that out. You know, they'll figure that out, and that'll be fun to see because Seth is freaking amazing anyway. But now what happens with Bron? You know, I don't want to see Bron go into like a dark downward spiral because he lost. You know, he's lost the last two matches to Seth. You know, that's why I really think him going over would have been better. Because, you know, there's more, build him up more. You know, Seth's at that point in his career where does he need to win all the time? Not necessarily, in my opinion. You know, he's there to build these guys up now and help get the next generation over. And, you know, we all know Bron is on that next level of superstars waiting to take that next great step up. So again, I thought it was a great storytelling during the match. You know, the having to hit Bron with everything and then the stomp off the second rope. Didn't expect the stomp off the second rope. I actually thought when Bron went down to a knee and he kind of was like hesitating, like he was like, stop. You know, I didn't know if he was going to get up and show like respect to Seth there and, you know, like shake hands or something. But then when he was like, did the breaking thing with his hands, I thought it was cool, a cool way to finish the match. And then we go to Tiffy Time and Jade Cargill. And I'll admit, at first, I wasn't that into this match. I just didn't really have much interest in it. But as the match got going, I got more into it. Yes, there were some, a little bit of sloppiness in there, but you know, that's going to happen. And, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, is going to happen. And yeah, you just enjoy the storyline. You enjoy the match and you move on. You can't sit there and critique every little move, every little thing that's going to happen. Cause shit happens, you know, when you're live on TV. I like Tiffany keeping the belt. And I also liked different storylines that were intertwined in there. What do I mean by that? I mean, you know, you had Jade came down and then B-Fab and Michon came out to interfere. And then Chelsea coming out from underneath the ring, I thought was awesome. And then her and Tiffany's outfits kind of matched. Speaking of the outfits, I love the butterflies all over Tiffany's outfit. I just think they're awesome. And I know she's kind of sticking with that. And I like that. I like the butterfly effect on her. But anyway, with Chelsea coming out and helping her. And then all of a sudden, you know, Jade's going for the belt. Another set of hands comes in and grabs the belt, and it's Charlotte Flair. I liked it because, again, you got what I like about it is you got six lady competition matches could happen there. Then I think what's going to be good is Charlotte can help Jade. Charlotte and Jade working. Charlotte will be able to help Jade get better. Better in the ring, just better overall. And because if you're working with Charlotte, I don't think you have a choice but to get better. And I think that's going to help. It's going to help her get better in the ring. It's going to help her better with promos. And then it's just going to help her better her get her character over more. I think that's going to be the positive side there. And I'm really intrigued and interested to watch Chelsea and Tiffy do more stuff together. I think that could be another cool dynamic there. That's kind of can kind of change maybe Chelsea's character a little bit. It'll help elevate her a little bit more also. And I know she kind of stared at that U.S. title a little bit, being that she was the first women's United States champion. So again, you know, most of these things, when two singles wrestlers start teaming up, they eventually split. So it'll be great to see, you know, what happens there. And if they do split, they work each other. That'll be fun to see. But so I thought that was great also. And now that brings us to the main event. I'm going to pause for Once Upon a Coconut, a little blueberry sip here. And main event, Cody Rhodes, Gunther, and Sami Zayn. My initial thought going into this match was Gunther. I thought Gunther was going to go over. Thought Gunther was going to win again. Too many things had happened in the last few weeks with things causing him not to win. And then, you know, I thought, sure, that's why, you know, Sammy's in there. Sammy's 10th time going for a world title. And it wouldn't have surprised me at all with Gunther pinning Sammy to win the belt. This way here, Cody can do that old spiel of, you know, again, you have my belt that I never lost. You didn't pin me. And I did like how Gunther seemed to try to keep Sammy out of the ring and kept going after Cody. And the commentary was great, saying Gunther wants to beat the champion. And he kept Cody in the ring. So if he, you know, he kept trying to pin Cody, he kept trying to win on Cody. I thought that was a great little story within the match as well, which was very intriguing, especially when the finish comes out that, you know, Sammy ends up pinning Cody. As the match went on, though, I'll admit also here that I started rooting for Sammy. You know, I love Gunther. You know, I like Sammy and I love Cody also. But, you know, with the when you go, for me, when I go into watching something and I have something in my mind, you know, that's kind of what I'm stuck around and that's kind of what I'm watching for. And I guess in the back of my mind, kind of cheering for that because you want to be right. Who doesn't want to be right? Everyone wants to be right. So, you know, that was my prediction, was Gunther pinning Sammy. And so, you know, of course, at first I was kind of voting for Gunther, but as the match started progressing, I started more and more finding myself rooting for Sammy. And when Cody went for another, his finisher, and Sammy reversed it, and then the roll-up happened, and I thought the finish was great because it was unexpected. I don't think, I mean, a lot of people, I'm sure, expected or had a thought that there was a chance for Sammy to win. Of course, there's a chance for Sammy to win because he's in the match. But with a roll-up, you know, everyone's hitting their finishers. Everyone's hitting hard. I mean, Gunther, I think, almost ripped Sammy's head off with a clothesline a couple times. But when it's a roll-up, you sit there and you go, think one, two. And then when you see the hand coming down and you hear the third, I actually popped on my couch. I got up. I was excited about it. I was excited for Sammy. The excitement in Sammy's face, I think it was genuine. I think it was like just a, you know, after all the years of being in WWE and, you know, being a wrestler, being in that position and all that time, and then finally, you know, winning the belt is huge. And, you know, the excitement in his face, the excitement in his manager going into the crowd, I think was awesome. You know, Glenn and I won the WWF tag team titles. The first thing we did was we went into the crowd to celebrate with the fans. Sammy did that. I thought it was great. I thought his celebration was genuine. He was genuinely excited about it. And, you know, a roll-up finish is kind of unheard of anymore. It's usually, you know, either a screw finish or a fuck finish, we want to call it, outside interference or someone's finisher. But for him just to hit a roll-up and get the 1-2-3, I thought made it even better. Cody's look of shock, I like that. And for me, could this be maybe a slight little heel turn for Cody? I don't think Cody will ever be a full heel, but you know, you get that little different. I don't even know so much of a heel turn, but more of maybe an attitude change with what he's saying, what he's doing. A little more aggressive Cody. I like that aggressive Cody more than the white meat babyface Cody. And also this now gives Gunther still have beef because he didn't get pinned and he can still whine and cry and go and try to get another title match. Cause you know, he's Gunther and you know, he got screwed those last couple times and now he got screwed again because he didn't get pinned. So he, you know, he can feel that he should still be in the hunt for the undisputed title. And you know what? I see Sami Zayn being that champion now going, yeah, Gunther, you want another shot? I'll give you another shot. And, you know, and I really hope Sammy holds the title for a while. I hope it's not just a thing where he holds it now and then loses it in SummerSlam, kind of like he had the United States Championship only for a few days or a few weeks, whatever it was, and then lost it to Trick. You know, I hope he holds it. I think that story can be compelling of him finally getting it. And then him still being an underdog. He's always been an underdog. I want him to continue to be the underdog, with the undisputed title. I think that makes the story even better. And then him, he can go in the back now and he can celebrate with Johnny Wrestling, with Johnny Gargano sitting there passed out, planking on the thing. You know, I think that side of Sammy needs to stay alive and keep it going. And that's a part of it. I think that I can get into a little bit more, you know, but like I said, as the match went on and just watching the story and seeing Sammy's expressions and, you know, the facial expressions, his emotions coming out in the match, made me a little bit bigger of a fan of Sami Zayn. I think it's going to be great. And again, does Sammy remain a tweener here? Because he's kind of a babyface heel. You either cheer for him or you boo for him. Or does this turn him back into a full babyface? You know, is the last real guy, real good guy, a thing? Or what's going to happen there? But either way, I think it's going to be great to see. I can't wait, you know, to watch it unfold and see what happens and see where everyone goes. And this is the part of the show where I throw plugs out so you can watch us on YouTube or listen anywhere you get your podcast. And while you're there, make sure you hit that subscribe button and just search the Chaz Mosh Show and it'll pop up. And you can head over to chazmosh.com to get your copy of Beneath the Skirt, which has been behind me the whole time. You get that there. And then on Amazon, I have my Beneath the Scar, my cancer story, which is behind me also. How One Lump Changed Everything. Again, I wrote this for one reason and one reason only. If it affects one person, early detection, you feel off, you feel a lump, you don't feel well, get your body checked out. You know your body better than anyone else. Don't be afraid. It doesn't make you a tough person or a tough guy to say, oh, well, I'm not getting it checked. Because if you don't get it checked, then it could be too late and nobody wants that. You go to Amazon, you can get, Beneath the Scars over at Amazon. And the new activity book, crossword puzzle book, is out with 60 fun puzzles in here. Yep, 60 of them, fun puzzles. You go over to Amazon, you get that along with the word search books. And, you know, make sure you follow me on all social media at Chaz Mosh so you don't miss anything. And the most important thing is, remember, do whatever makes your heart happy. Just don't suck at it. We'll see you next time. Peace out.